Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Gail Martin and Carol Kelly. Each week, the ladies will bring you gardening and planting ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies and habitats, and great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Carol Kelly.
Hello again, everyone. In our last two segments of In the Green Outdoors, we've talked about starting fruit seeds indoors and vegetable sprouts from leftovers just for the fun of growing them into houseplants to ease the winter doldrums. This week, I'd like to share with you some additional indoor gardening ideas. If you like to cook using fresh herbs and want to do some gardening before we can get outdoors to play in the dirt, here's a tip for getting some inexpensive herb plants to tide you over until you have fresh ones from the garden. With any luck, you may even be able to transplant these house-grown herbs outdoors once the weather is warm enough and not have to buy new plants at the nursery. A recent trip to one of our local grocery stores gave me the opportunity to get a jump on planting one of my very favorite herbs, sweet basil. You likely have seen the small pots of live herb plants for sale in produce departments, and when I saw pots of very healthy-looking sweet basil, 6 to 8 inches tall, on sale for only $1.99, I could not resist. Basil is a plant that usually will sprout roots from the base of a cut stem. So rather than wait a month or more before planting the basil seed that I purchased a few weeks ago, I decided to take some cuttings from the potted basil and root those. While one can make do for a while with bright light in a south-facing window, since I start a number of different seeds annually, I have fluorescent lights over a long shelf in our basement. So once I potted up the cuttings, I set them under lights. And here's what else I do. I'm still finding a few ladybugs around our windows. I'm sure listeners often have these otherwise beneficial insects that begin invading our homes in late fall and gradually work their way into the warm rooms of our homes, where they definitely are pests. Sometimes I find them in our bedroom, where they have occasionally landed on my head as I lie in bed reading at night. When that happens, I admit that I kill them outright, since they do sometimes bite, and they definitely stink. But if I find them here and there around the house during the day, it's easy to capture them in a small jar and toss them back outside. But now that I have some plants in the basement, I've been taking the bugs down and releasing them on the plants, since it's fairly inevitable, no matter how careful a gardener one is, that fungus gnats and or whitefly will appear seemingly out of nowhere. Ancient peoples used to believe in spontaneous generation. When it comes to these kinds of insect pests, I almost have to buy into that belief myself. Well, so let's talk about rooting those cuttings from basil, or from mint, since that too will root quite readily. A couple of years ago, I wanted to find a nice mint variety to grow in a certain confined area in our yard. There are numerous kinds of mint, and not even ones sharing the same common name always smell or taste the same. So I checked the potted grocery store mint, lightly rubbing a leaf and smelling it until I found one I liked. So once you have your plant, whether basil or mint, choose some of the longest stems. Cut them off just above a paired set of leaves. Next, snip or pinch off any extra sets of leaves from the bottom part of the stem that you've removed. Leave at least one set of leaves at the top, or two if it's a long stem, but then I also like to remove the two largest leaves from the clusters that I leave, since there are as yet no roots to support all of the leaves. Put the bare stems in water immediately, and remember to keep an eye on the water level, adding a little more or even changing the water every day or so as needed. Eventually, fine white roots will begin to appear. You may leave these rooting stems in the container of water for quite some time to allow them to grow longer and stronger until you are ready to pot up the plants. Another thing I want to talk about today is that besides starting herb plants from cuttings or utilizing the greens that we might get from any root vegetables like we talked about before, and the attractive houseplants we might grow from various fruit seeds, there's also a very low-calorie but nutrition-dense food anyone may grow in jars on the kitchen counter. No soil is necessary. As I have said before, While I have no intention of turning this program into a cooking show, our goal often has been to suggest how to provide inexpensive but healthy food for our families, and indoor seed sprouting is just one more way to do that economically. My program about sprouting fruit seeds last time turned my thoughts towards the tremendous food value of living sprouted seeds. With grocery prices continuing to climb, sprouts can add a powerful nutritional boost to our meals at a very reasonable cost. And sprouts are indeed a valuable source of nutrition. According to Emily Ho, nutrition professor and director of the Linus Pauling Institute at Oregon State University, 5 to 7 day old seed sprouts can often offer more nutrition benefits than the mature plants. Professor Ho went on to explain that sprouting doesn't change the nutrition profile of the plant, but rather helps release beneficial compounds. For example, plant foods contain phytates that bind with minerals such as zinc, iron, and magnesium. This prevents those minerals from being absorbed in the body. Human bodies don't have the enzymes present to break down these phytates, but when a seed germinates, it releases enzymes that break carbohydrates down into smaller molecules that your body can digest more readily. The starch becomes sugar that your body can absorb with less effort. And if you are one who experiences a particular gastric disturbance as a result of eating beans, this is because beans contain complex sugars that many people struggle to digest. The beans actually ferment in the digestive tract and feed bad bacteria that live there. Sprouting beans, however, will break down these complex sugars so our bodies don't have to. Sprouted seeds and greens have vitamin C, B vitamins, and antioxidants in higher concentration than mature plants. Professor Ho points out that one would need to eat 50 cups of broccoli to get the similar nutrition and benefit that you can get from a single cup of broccoli sprouts. Some people don't like the taste of broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, or other cruciferous vegetables because of the beneficial sulfur-containing plant chemicals they contain. But sprouted vegetables are free of that unique flavor and actually have a slightly sweet taste. Eating nutrient-dense sprouts and microgreens would be especially helpful for the 9 out of 10 U.S. adults who, according to a study done in 2019, don't consume adequate amounts of vegetables. Sprouting seeds and greens is a simple and inexpensive process and has little environmental impact. The sprouts that people most likely are familiar with are bean sprouts, the ubiquitous mainstay of canned chop suey mix and egg rolls. These are sprouts of the mung bean, and besides the canned sort, I've seen packages of fresh bean sprouts as well as alfalfa and sometimes other sprouts in the produce sections of larger grocery stores. I do have to caution you, however, to be aware that packaged raw sprouts have a very brief shelf life, so be sure to always check the sell-by date. If they are not in sealed packages, sniff the sprouts to check for any off scent. Examine packaged ones closely, avoiding any whose contents look wilted, wet, or slimy. Raw sprouts have proved to be riskier to eat than canned ones and have been associated with outbreaks of foodborne pathogens such as Salmonella and E. coli. If you do choose to buy fresh ones rather than sprouting them yourself, at least rinse them well before using, and personally, I'd want to cook them, not eat them raw. And in fact, because of the risk of bacterial contamination, children, older adults, pregnant women, and persons with weakened immune systems are advised to avoid eating raw sprouts of any kind altogether. I choose to forego commercially sprouted seeds, since there's no way I want to risk such an illness. That said, sprouts are so easy to grow in the kitchen, and while remembering to take proper hygienic precautions, the basics of sprouting seeds for eating are quite simple. And there's a whole world of seeds suitable for sprouting that are easily obtained. If there happen to be no natural food stores near you that carry them, mail order nurseries usually offer a variety of seeds specifically for sprouting, in addition to those meant planting in the garden. When you are buying seeds to sprout for direct consumption, it is imperative that they have not been treated with any sort of chemical. If you have purchased seeds for your garden before, you likely have seen some seeds colored bright red or pink, or less commonly, green or blue. on seeds from some suppliers, this coating is an all-natural mix of clay, perlite, and FDA-approved food coloring. It's often common on tiny seeds, such as carrot seed, but I've seen it also on others, even radish seed. This coloring can make direct sowing into the garden easier, since it helps you to space them the proper distance apart in the row. However, the coating does add a few days to the germination time as compared to uncoated seeds, since of course it takes moisture time to penetrate the coating and reach the actual seeds. The bright color on seeds from some companies is a warning that the seed has been treated with a chemical. Usually it is one that controls fungus, which can spread disease and reduce crop yield and quality. Soybean seed is commonly treated this way. Other seed may be treated with an insecticide to control insects that may try to feed upon the seedlings. So just always avoid colorful seed if you're going to plan to eat it. Popular seeds for sprouting include, but are certainly not limited to, alfalfa, radish, kale, mustard, broccoli, fenugreek, clover, wheat, lentils, and other legumes, and so on. Some suppliers also offer seed mixes containing seeds that share the same number of days of germination. While the process is not complicated, rather than take any more time here to describe how to sprout seeds, let me just suggest you look for any of the many sites on the internet, including YouTube videos with very clear directions for sprouting seeds. There are various techniques, so you should read or view several different sites to decide which is most convenient for you. Just Google a phrase such as "how to sprout seeds for food" and you will find plenty of helpful information. But do give sprouting seeds a try and boost your family's nutrition with this low-cost food. Finally, here's a reminder that you can go out any time now and clip some branches from any flowering shrubs that you may have in your yard and force them indoors into bloom. Some good choices include serviceberry, magnolia, flowering quince, forsythia, crabapple, flowering cherry, viburnum, cornelian cherry, pussy willow, dogwood, and redbud. Many neighborhoods and individual residences throughout Marion County have Bradford pear trees, also known as Callery pear trees. These are the invasive species that you've heard Gail and I speak of with derision, as these are one of the many pest species of non-native plants that have become a blight on our Ohio landscape. These flowering pear trees, which do not produce fruit that is edible to humans, easily may be forced into bloom. However, they are undesirable even for this purpose, since once opened, the flowers give a most unpleasant, in fact, downright nauseating, odor. But if you do have any of the other shrubs I listed, cut the branches and put them in warm water. Keep them in a cool spot, about 45 to 55 degrees, until the buds start to swell. When they do, bring the branches into a warmer part of the house. In water, the buds will soon open. Change the water frequently. As a bonus, some of the branches even may root for you, and you'll have new plants for free. Pussy willow is one that I have found will most commonly root from a cut stem. This is Carol Kelly saying, I hope I've given you some good ideas for inexpensive ways that you can get a jump on spring, add some good, inexpensive food to your meals, and bring some color into your home with early blooms that soon will be brightening our lives here in the green outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.